Digital Gallery podcast.
Hello, I'm Miranda Hinckley, and this is a podcast from the National Gallery, London. Coming up, Moving Pictures, a group of London animation students bring the gallery's paintings to life. Guido Reni and the Case of the Mysterious Markings. Unidentified stains on a work by the 17th century painter present a puzzle for the conservation and scientific teams. And your last chance to catch a golden age of Dutch art as the Dutch Portraits exhibition closes its doors. But we start with an invite for our very smallest visitors. If you're kicking your heels at the weekend, why not bring your grown-up along to the National Gallery? This month sees the launch of Family Sundays, a weekly day of events designed to help kids and adults get the most out of the gallery together. Colin Wiggins and Aliki Brain told us what they've got planned.
Hello, my name is Vicky, as she said, and I would say welcome to the National Gallery, because that's where you are today, and we are going to go on a magic carpet tour through a painting.
I'm Colin Wiggins, and I'm the Deputy Head of Education here at the National Gallery.
Now, what I love about this magic carpet is it's so soft. Can you feel
it? Family Sundays have been running here at the National Gallery for a little while now, but what we hope to do, what we are going to be doing, is running the Sundays every single week of the year. We want to provide a place where families can come, where mums and dads and children and their children's friends can come, and to enable the families to work together, to learn together, to look at this collection together, to talk about it, to discuss it, and for the collection and the values that our collection represents to become a regular and a vital part of family life.
My name is Aliki Brain, and I work as a lecturer for the National Gallery running family workshops.
Water is in this painting. We have a castle,
mountain.
It's a good idea to have an idea of what you might come to be looking at. It's a good idea to perhaps look online and find a few images that you and your children think would be of interest, and then come and see it in the flesh. Children are always amazed by how different a painting in the flesh looks to what they saw reproduced in a book or on a website. They've got frames around them. Are they bigger than you expected? Are they smaller than you thought they would be?
Well, children are a very, very important part of our core audience. We prioritise children. We're very keen to provide stimulus and activity and enjoyment for children. The ways that we do this are by providing lecturers, teachers, artists who will work with the children, not talking or teaching in a kind of formal sense, but really just trying to open minds, open eyes, open up ideas to this wonderful collection that we have here.
The artist is called Claude, but can we imagine what this painting might be called?
One of the ways to access the pictures is to ask yourself questions, and that's a skill that everyone should really get into the habit of doing when they come to a picture. Perhaps they've not seen this picture before. Trust the pictures. The artists are absolutely able to tell you and guide you what it is you're supposed to be looking at. And the first question I always ask myself and ask groups of children is, what do we look at first? What stands out? Is something right at the front?
A top tip for parents, from my point of view, is to come here with open eyes and open minds. You'll find yourself surprised, because what we've got here is a most wonderful and exciting collection of wonderful and exciting stories, for example. We have the Bible stories, the ancient Greek and Roman myths, stories from history, full of excitement, full of drama, full of passion, full of colour, and look at them together, learn about them together, enter into them together, learn from other people's responses. And it's a matter of, I think, forming a kind of dialogue with your family and friends. It brings you closer together, learning about yourself through looking at great pictures.
What do you think?
I'm scared to go into the castle. Yes.
Yes, are you scared to go into this castle? I would agree, I would be a little bit scared.
One way to look at these images is not just to use our eyes to look. Of course, we look at paintings above everything else, but our eyes are also capable of awakening our other senses. So it's worth using your eyes as ears and thinking, what can I hear when I look at this picture? Is this a noisy painting? What can I smell? What can I taste? What can I touch? Now, of course, it's absolutely essential that we all remember that we're not allowed to touch the paintings. But if you use your eyes as fingers, is there anything that's cold? Is there anything that's wet?
Looking at pictures is a vital part of life. It's a hugely enjoyable and stimulating part of existence. And if we can enable children to learn how to look at pictures, how to understand pictures at an early age, it's something that will be with them always.
What's fantastic about coming to the National Gallery to go on a workshop as a child is that you get to look at a picture, talk about it, but also draw it and make your own work of art. And it's wonderful to think that lots of children leave the building with their own masterpieces to put on their bedroom walls.
He imagined in his mind what an enchanted castle might look like, and he painted it. So I want to say thank you very much for coming along. Thank you very much for this wonderful magic carpet. I very much enjoyed talking to you and seeing all the wonderful things that you said. A very smart group.
Colin Wiggins and a leaky brain with some tips on how to help the kids feel at home in the gallery. If you'd like to join in the fun, Family Sundays starts from the 2nd of September. Hear a story on the magic carpet, draw your own masterpiece, or go exploring with a family audio tour. You can find details on our website, www.nationalgallery.org.uk. Education events aren't just for children. There's also a wide range of activities and lectures for adults too. Groups of university students regularly work with the gallery to produce creative pieces inspired by the paintings. Sometimes the aim is to make a short film, sometimes to sketch a fashion design, and this year, for the first time, a group from Central St Martin's College of Art and Design have been making animations. I'm standing in room number 10 with Lee Riley from National Gallery Education and with Birgitta Hosier, who is the course director at Central St Martin's. Lee, tell me a bit about the transcription project.
It's working with Birgitta and the Central St Martin's postgrad character animation course, and what we wanted to do was work with them and work with our collection, because one of the things that our collection have is a lot of stories. The main basis for a lot of the paintings is narrative, and taking on that on board, I thought it would be wonderful to work with a course taking on animation and looking at the stories that the paintings have to tell within a single frame.
Birgitta, what did this process reveal? What do you think the students got out of looking at the paintings?
So I think the animation students really gained a lot of inspiration from looking at this amazing collection of paintings here. There's so many ideas here, there's so many stories and so many characters from all different periods of history. And we found as a project brief that students came up with very creative films at the end of the whole process, whereas in the past we've set very open briefs and the results haven't always been so creative, but actually using the paintings as a starting point was really stimulating for them, I think.
And the work was brilliant. I mean, it was really nice because I got to see it at different stages and when they were doing the animatics. And some of the creative ideas that were flowing, actually for me and for my colleagues, we can look at the paintings in a different way. And that is very exciting for us, and to sort of see where the inspiration actually comes, what they're being inspired by, and how they're using that inspiration to create these amazing works, because they are fabulous.
Hi, I'm Kim Alexander. I've just graduated from Central St Martin's and produced a 2D animation based on the painting St Jerome and His Study by Vincenzo Catena.
Your piece is called Hungry for Love, and at some point there's a pancake bride. Tell us a bit about what actually happens in the story.
When I looked at the painting, I took his posture and like the atmosphere, the mood of the painting, more than taking the actual story behind the painting. I'm trying to make a modern day interpretation. Basically, there's a man who's based on St Jerome, and his dog Leo in the painting is actually a lion, but because I wanted it to be believable as a modern day setting, it had to be a dog. And they're living in this squalor, like happily, kind of getting on with life, drinking beer, eating junk food. And then until one day, Jerome sees on the TV this advert for a pancake bride, and then sort of immediately orders it. It's delivered, like home delivery. and then the story's about like what happens after that. I don't know if I should give it away.
No, you'd have to tell us what happens at the end. How did you have the idea for the Pancake Bride? Where did that come from?
I was thinking of someone who's like a lonely, antisocial person, and in place of the cross, having a TV as like his source of inspiration. And then I came by, it's quite a strange link, but I came up with this idea of him being inspired by an advert on the Shopping Channel for this thing that's going to radically change his life, which is kind of like the interpretation of like people looking to religion and visions that's radically changing their lives.
Kimberly Alexander with a unique take on Catena's St. Jerome in his study. You can download her 3-minute animated film as a bonus track with this episode, or later this month, watch all of the student animations online at www.nationalgallery.org.uk. And now, a trip behind the scenes. Upstairs in the gallery's attic, away from the noise of Trafalgar Square, the conservation and scientific teams clean and restore paintings. One of the biggest challenges of recent years, in all senses of the word, has been a picture by Guido Reni. Just moving the Adoration of the Shepherds around the building requires careful planning. It's almost 5 metres high and over 3 metres wide. And a set of mysterious marks on its surface have presented an added puzzle. I visited the team to find out more.
So I'm here in the conservation studio with Larry Keith from Conservation and Marika Spring from Scientific, and we're looking at the Adoration of the Shepherds. Tell us a bit about what's happening in this painting. It's a nativity scene, isn't it? And we've got Mary and Joseph with the baby Jesus in the centre, surrounded by the shepherds.
Well, as you said, it's a nativity scene. Its figures are perhaps slightly bigger than life-size, and it's the Holy Family surrounded by shepherds, and in the middle distance we have another group of shepherds, and then in the upper tier there's a whole assortment of putti hovering above, and it's quite a big picture. It's perhaps the largest one we have in the gallery.
And what has that meant in terms of moving it around?
Well, that's been extremely complicated because it's actually too big to go through an awful lot of the doors and passageways we need to use to move the painting into the studios for the restoration work. So we've involved a lot of art handling. It's rather complicated group effort because we've had to roll this picture, put it on a large roller to actually transport it.
So when you finally got it up here into the space, what happens next?
Well, the first thing we did was to remove or reduce the old discolored varnishes and a lot of the old restorations, which again had discolored and were really getting in the way of viewing the picture. So we would clean it, as we would call that, and then after that we took the picture down to the lower conservation studio to do the structural work. After having relined it, we then took it back up to the studio where we are now, varnished the painting, and we've started to integrate the losses, retouch them, to bring the picture back to the final presentation where it goes down to the galleries again.
Marika, what's your involvement in the process from Scientific?
Well, I was involved near the beginning of the conservation treatment, so just after Larry and Paul had removed some of the varnish. And when they did this, they realised that there were small drips all over the painting, as if something corrosive had been splashed across the surface. And they wanted to know what this was, and by knowing what it was, they could then decide how to treat these particular defects. So I took a tiny sample from one of the drips and looked at it under the microscope and then analysed it in a piece of equipment called a scanning electron microscope. And from that we could work out that this wasn't something that was simply sitting on the surface of the paint. The top part of the paint had actually changed and had been eaten into by this corrosive material. And we could also work out that this corrosive material, from the analysis, we could work out that it contained a lot of phosphorus. And one of the quite common causes of this type of damage with this particular sort of pattern of drips in churches and historic buildings is from bat urine. As the bats fly past, the urine is deposited on the surface of the painting, and bat urine contains a lot of phosphorus. So we think this is probably what happened to the painting, perhaps when it was in its original location.
And if we look closely at the canvas, particularly in this corner where you've got the scene of cherubs or putti, you can actually kind of see little dashes in the paint where that's happened. And it's like they've almost made the pigment darker there.
Yes, they have. They've eaten through the upper layer of paint, and we can see the dark ground underneath. But in the sky, which is a lighter blue colour,
It's had the opposite effect. It's made little sort of white stripes where it's damaged and broken up the surface of the paint, so it's sort of scattering light.
So, Larry, you've been touching some of this up. How does that work?
Well, it's part of the damage that the paintings had that we're trying to remove and retouching, which is sort of what we normally do. And Paul Ackward and I, who's working with me on the project, have started the retouching. And you can see some areas where we've just simply glazed out or toned down the effect of these losses. Each one is very small and not particularly disturbing, but it's the cumulative effect of literally hundreds of them. That it's a bit like a snowy picture on a TV, and if you slowly get rid of them, suddenly you can start to see the painting working properly and the space moving back and the figures standing properly in front of one another. And it's very satisfying to see that at the end of doing quite a bit of it.
Larry, having the painting here in the conservation studio like this is also a fantastic opportunity to really have a look at it up close.
Yeah, it's one of the great pleasures about working on paintings at the National Gallery as a restorer is that you really get to see them in very good light in a kind of more intimate way for a brief time while you have them, and then they go and more ones, you know, another one comes afterwards. But it's certainly a wonderful chance to really look closely.
Larry Keith and Marika Spring. Rainey's painting is so large that restoration is likely to continue into next year. We'll bring you news of its return to the gallery as soon as the work's complete. And finally, don't forget it's your last chance to see an unprecedented array of paintings by the Dutch masters, including Rembrandt and Hauss. The Dutch Portraits exhibition, sponsored by Shell, closes on the 16th of September. You can still buy tickets online, and an audio guide is available featuring interviews with the curators. Next month, we'll have news of the gallery's big autumn show. Called Renaissance Siena, it gives UK art lovers a rare chance to see some extraordinary paintings that are little known outside Italy. Until then, goodbye.